The following sermon was delivered to the New Covenant Presbyterian Church, PCA, in Selma, Alabama.
Please turn to Psalm 20. I think I'll say before I read it some of the concepts of this psalm. It's originally, it appears, a kingship psalm, a psalm that, you know, in Israel's day, the king leading people out to actual battle, physical battle, under the Lord's jurisdiction in the theocracy of Israel. This was a prayer for salvation, for deliverance, for God's help. But as a kingship prayer, it ultimately finds fulfillment in Christ. And then we can pray it as his people. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Selah. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Let's pray. Father in heaven, it is my prayer that the words of my mouth, the meditation in each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Having begun a little bit of an introduction, I'll continue that introduction I started before I read the psalm by asking what person brings the message of the entire Bible together so that it all makes sense? What person actually, even for us in our everyday life, his suffering, his death, and his victory help us make sense of suffering in this fallen world? Well, the answer is Jesus. And I say that because I'm taking a sort of an interpretive decision to take this kingship psalm and to apply it very directly to us as those reading it and praying it. Again, it was originally written and proclaimed and prayed for the help of the king. But the king that fulfilled all those earthly kings and their lack of being able to completely save is Jesus. And really, you can work through the psalm and you can see how Jesus could have prayed it. And we could have even prayed it in looking at his life in fulfillment of the law and dying for our sins and living for us and then dying for us. And really, I read it actually July 20th. That morning, I read it the 20th because it was Psalm 20, and in a certain way of picking a psalm to read, that's how I did. And it brought me great comfort. I wasn't reading it for a sermon. I was just reading it for personal comfort. But it didn't take me long to decide I'm going to fill one of these summer months as we're kind of doing some different things here. This is a psalm of a prayer and response, a meditation that will help us in the spiritual battle that we face every day. As we seek to be faithful Christians and in the midst of a wicked and depraved generation, and we desire to shine as lights in this world, I'm calling it a psalm for someone in need. we find in it two big ideas, and I'm going to have a couple of ideas as subpoints under those two big ideas. In verses 1 to 5, we see the power of prayer in the spiritual battle. And then in verses 6 to 9, we see the power of faith in the spiritual battle. So the power of prayer in the spiritual battle brings us both help and happiness. Help. That's a good word to take before the Lord, isn't it? Help. The psalmist does it this way in the first request. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. He actually comes back to this at the very end. May he answer us when we call. But the reminder here from the beginning is that in our need for help, where else are we going to go but the Lord? I commend you, go to the Lord. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The Lord does. He answers his people in the day of trouble. Our help is in him alone. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's in Psalm 124. Our help. So we're praying. This is the power of prayer in the spiritual battle. We're praying, Lord, answer us in the day of trouble. And he helps us through his name. The rest we find in him and his power, his name. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. We're calling on his name, God's name in his various names in the Bible to describe who he is, his attributes, the fact that we can count on him. There isn't one possible need we have that he's not in his own character prepared to meet or to help according to his own wise will. So his name is our protection. The wise man put it like this: the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. Proverbs 18:10. So his name, you know, we're called by his name now. We're in his family. He's our father. We have a good name. Regardless of the name we had before, and we do all we can by God's grace to have a good family name, but we're in a good place. We have the name of the Lord as our family name now, and we ask for his name to protect us. But we further ask for help from the sanctuary and support from Zion. These images make me think of both the sort of maybe the spiritual and the physical, or maybe the internal and the external. We need help from the sanctuary. That's the place of rest. We need a place to rest. So we're here this morning. One of the things we're doing is resting in the Lord. Resting from the worldly cares that can really tear us up, that can wear us down. Resting from our sin. Coming here with a pledge for new obedience. We're here to rest. That's the sanctuary. It's also a place where we can plan, we can pray, we can plan, we can make plans, God's plans, in a safe and secure place so that we can go out and then seek to execute them. But he also asked for support from Zion. And again, just the image in my mind is more the God's place of power, where he reigns, where he has all power as our king to help us in our need. So the battle, just like their physical battle, on the battlefield will be won. So our battle might be won. Our battle with unbelief. Our battle with anger. Whatever our battles, we can find the rest, the hope, the plans, the protection. Knox Chamberlain, I had the privilege not only of studying under him, but he was led my faculty student prayer group. He's with the Lord now. He now knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. He would pray for us every class period. And of course, I got to pray with him with the prayer group. And he would pray, Lord, I pray that you would meet all the pressures these students are feeling, you would exert an equal and opposite pressure from you, O Lord, that would neutralize these and that they might have peace. Would you, in your goodness and power, do this? He would pray that for us. And you just wanted to stay there in class. Of course, we're in class to learn to go minister. But you just wanted to keep your eyes closed and stay. Like, oh, Lord, I'll just stay here forever. I'll just be permanently Dr. Chamberlain, seminary student. But that's not what we're called to do. We have to go out into the world and ask God for the power of His name, for the rest we can get at His sanctuary, for the power to come into our life from Zion. That is our help. But there's also happiness in this prayer. May He remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. This really ministered to me when I read it 10 days ago. May He remember your offerings. Yours and mine. Now let's be clear. The biggest offering, the offering through which all other offerings can be made, is Jesus' offering. He offered Himself up for us, a final offering to God to pay for our sins. But because He's perfect and was the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, because He's made it where we can approach His throne of grace, we can bring offerings to the Lord, and they're a pleasing aroma to Him. God's angel visited Cornelius, the centurion, a Gentile. He was getting ready to meet, to bring Cornelius and Peter together so that the church would begin to, we would begin to see that the church wasn't just for the Jews, but for Gentiles like us. And God's angel said to Cornelius in a vision, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." Friend, God remembers every single offering you've made to Him. We usually think of tithes and offerings. You know what He does? He does remember every cent you've ever given to Him. But even more than that, He remembers every single thing you've done for Him. Every time you've picked up one of His people off the ground and helped them up. Every time you've taking care of a family member in need because there's no one else to do it but you. It's just you and the Lord and them. He's with you. He remembers it. Our service to the Lord is never in vain. And so we pray, Lord, remember. May He remember all your offerings and regard with favor. And He does. Because all of our offerings, and well, there's all kinds of offerings, financial offerings. Really, I think the love of one another, though, and the way we help each other, when we give for the sake of the Lord, He remembers it all. Most people, we don't see each other's things. Sometimes we do, and we can give each other a good word of encouragement. Most of the time, it's just you and the Lord. Nobody knows but the Lord. Please remember that. That brings us happiness. Even more happiness. Now let's read the next few lines. May He grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. I can't help but think, before we think of our plans, of God's plans. If you think about Jesus, this prayer being for Him as our Savior, may He grant your heart's desire and fulfill your plans. Well, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit deemed in eternity past to save their people, us. That was His plan. There's people there, my people, I'm going to save them. And the plan was Jesus was going to come to earth, be born a baby, born in a manger, live as one of us, fully God, fully man, suffer, fulfill the law, never sin, experience temptation, as we do, yet without sin. And then his plan was he's going to die. And on the third day, rise again. Because you remember in John 17, Jesus said, I pray that those you've given me may be with me. Well, his prayer was fulfilled. His plan was accomplished. And that final answer to that prayer will be when we are all with him forever. This brings great happiness to us, this kind of prayer. Remembering, rejoicing to the Lord in our salvation. And in him, just like our offerings can be remembered because of his greater offering, so our desires God will fulfill when they are one with his desires. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. As our plans line up with God's plans, he'll bring them to pass, so we can shout for joy over that. This is great happiness. And then he gives the image, in the name of our God, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. Set up our banners. That's, you know, and again, in war, you got the flag and you're running behind the flag, your banner, your team. In our day, we see it more in the athletic competition, running onto the field under your banner. But we have a spiritual banner. The Lord is our God. His name, in a sense, is our banner. And we're raising his banner here together today, rejoicing in our salvation. May the Lord fulfill your petitions. You know, when Jesus accomplished our salvation, he ascended on high, and he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. The benefits of redemption, all the gifts he has for us. So we shout together in praise over this rescue. And when we say, may the Lord fulfill your petitions, we remember that Romans 8:32, will he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him graciously give us all things? There's supposed to be happiness in the Christian life that our prayers bring. You know, I'm not going to go and let me just say, the point here, the power of prayer in the spiritual battle, health and happiness. Some of you may have lived hard lives, okay, but we can have joy and happiness in the Lord right in the midst of it. You know, I can't go into detail with it now, but I've been reflecting on a lot of different things in my life. And I realize that as a little boy, and I can't go into detail this morning, it's not the right time. But through some things, not any fault of my own, it was instilled in me this sense that you're not, there's these really good things, but you're not really allowed to enjoy them. It was actually an abuse, and I'll just leave it at that for now. But things that are really supposed to be good were made very confusing to me. And as you trace some things through your life, and I really mean this, I encourage you. Some of us, we have a hard time being happy. We have a hard time rejoicing when we're supposed to rejoice. You can get taught not to do that. And then you can start your own kind of coping mechanisms. Where one friend of mine said, you put the brakes on. Just put the brakes on because you got to stop. You can't. And this is joyful. This is happiness. We're to be happy. This is a happy place where we have joy Joy that overcomes all the obstacles that the world puts in front of us, that we put in front of each other when we can snuff out each other's joy. God says no. May he grant your heart's desire. May he fulfill all your plans. May he fulfill your petitions. The power of prayer in the spiritual battle is we get help and we get happiness. I'll be very brief on the second point. The power of faith in the spiritual battle. You know what? He turns a corner immediately. He says, you know what? I know that the Lord saves his anointed. There's faith. I know. I know he'll answer now from heaven. God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. He did bring his anointed Savior. He brought his work to completion. He says he did so with the saving might of his right hand. Isaiah tells us, do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you, I'll help you, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's righteous right hand will uphold you, friend. That's our hope. Then he reminds us of something very important. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord, our God. What chariots or horses are you trusting in? The other armies had lots more chariots and horses than Israel when they first prayed this. What chariots and horses other than God are you trusting in? Are you relying on yourself? The attitude of self-reliance, it always lurks. But victory doesn't come through us, through our know-how, our skills, our brains, our power. We invoke God's name. That's living by faith. Our trust is in the name of the Lord our God, Yahweh, Jehovah. I am who I am, the covenant God, whose hesed, whose steadfast love endures forever. Who saved Israel from her enemies? The one true God alone. Who saved us from sin and from Satan? None other than the Lord Jesus, whose very name means God is salvation. There's no other name under heaven by which we may be saved but the name of Jesus. So through the power of prayer and the power of faith, in the spiritual battle, we've had help, happiness, hope, and then we close with hallelujah. O Lord, save the King. May he answer us when we call hallelujah. How do we prepare for battle? With prayer. We gather together like we are and we pray. May the Lord answer us in the day of trouble. May he answer us when we call. He will answer us because we come in the name of Jesus. We pray together. In faith, we patiently wait for the Lord's response. The way of assurance and victory in distress. The way of assurance and victory is to meet distress with prayer. And he will answer. Because we approach his throne of grace with confidence through Christ alone to find grace and mercy in time of need. Go to him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this psalm that reminds us that in you alone may we find help, happiness, and hope. And so we say, hallelujah, in Christ's name.